OSN, it's game day eve for Cougar football. The number 22 ranked BYU Cougars head to Waco to take on Baylor. What would a win mean and what would a loss mean for BYU's season? The Dominator, Brandon Doman, joins us to discuss the pressure of playing as an undefeated team and how BYU beats the Bears.
The Big 12 conference schedule out for BYU men's basketball. We'll discuss and tell you which games you all need to circle. Ben Bywater, former linebacker, goes one-on-one with current BYU star linebacker Jack Kelly ahead of tomorrow's game at Baylor. And our Week 5 guest picker for Big 12 Pick'em is none other than Jimmer Fredette. Is he good at picking games like he is at making threes?
We're about to find out, dog. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is game day eve, Friday, September 27th. I'm Jerem Jordan, alone in Provo. So you've heard Spencer. Oh, there you are. Live from the banks of the Brazos in Waco, Texas, Spencer Linton. What's up, dude?
I'm feeling a little agitated today, Jerem.
Oh,
maybe
what's
it's
up?
Because BYU lost in Waco in 2021. They lost in 83. I'm channeling my inner frustration from Steve Young from that being the only game that BYU lost in 83. I don't know. Just. It's a little off this morning, and probably because BYU's never won in Waco, man.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? We discovered yesterday that Snickers is actually housed in Waco.
Yeah.
Why wait? Grab a Snickers. You hangry? Do we have a Snickers nearby? Oh, hey, look at that. Why wait?
Wouldn't you know? You know what?
Take a bite, dude. Let's go.
Let's go ahead and get this thing going, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, see if this makes me feel better.
You're not often hangry. But you do carry snacks constantly, like Brad Pitt from the Ocean's movies.
My life is immediately better. Okay.
I thought you said your wife
back,
you is immediately better. I was like, what does Brittany have to do with this? Hey, are they just doing yard work nearby or what?
She's probably better if I'm in a good mood too. Hey, don't worry about it. The banks of the Brazos need to look pristine and sharp
for game day,
Jerem, okay?
But people coming in on boats. What
Come
is
on,
this,
man.
Knoxville? That's great. Only 10 years old, that stadium. 10-year anniversary was game one against Tarleton State. So McLean Stadium, can't wait to go one day. You were there in 21. Now we're back in 24. Let's go. I'm glad you got your Snickers and you're in a better mood. That's great, man. That's great. Okay, all rise and shout.
Why wait?
It's time for What's Trending.
The number 22 team in the country hits Waco, Texas to take on the Baylor Bears. Baylor is a consensus favorite.
I really love it. We love the Indian style.
BYU will see that as a slight against them.
So we know what our purpose is. We know exactly what we want, and we're not going to start until we get it.
BYU and Baylor coming up tomorrow morning. Pregame bright and early, 10 a.m. Eastern time on BYU TV and BYU Radio. And then the game on FS1 and BYU Radio at noon Eastern time. Cougars are a 3-point dog as of this morning. Spencer, it's a big one. All Big 12 games are important, but when you're ranked number 22 and 4-0, those games stack up to be even more important. So, what would a win mean for BYU tomorrow at Baylor?
Well, now that I'm thinking clearly, and I have most of the chocolate and caramel and peanuts out of my mouth, Jerem, I can tell you that a win tomorrow for BYU not only propels BYU into a new level of blue goggle atmosphere for all BYU fans, but it checks the boxes in so many different ways, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We brought it up yesterday. It's just such a marquee game for BYU to say, hey, we are here and we are for real. I think BYU fans in large part they're hesitant to buy into BYU until they can do something that they haven't done yet, which is win a Big 12 road game and then equal their Big 12 win total from last season. So if that happens and BYU is 5-0 going into the bye week, now you're a top 20 team. Now you are legitimized in a way. And it's not just, well, they've got a lucky-ish win against SMU because they survived. And, yeah, they were home against Kansas State. Now you've done it in so many different ways. And you have 3 Power 5 wins in your first 5 and 3 road wins. So, my goodness, Jerem. Again, this is like the validation for BYU that they need to show we are real and you can believe that we are real. So, yeah, getting to 5-0 in and of itself is great. To be a top 20 team, all of those are good things. But I think this takes BYU and their fans to a new level of accepting that maybe this team is capable of doing something special. I said it before, If they get to 5-0, I believe that 7-0 becomes a very real possibility because of what BYU goes home to after the bye weeks, and then you start flirting with a potentially special season. But the thing I'll say before I throw it back to you and get your thoughts on this is, if BYU wins tomorrow, they're going to win 9 games in the regular season. I feel super strongly about it. You beat Baylor, and this team will win 9 regular season games. And now they've become what West Virginia did last year, and they have become, in a way, kind of what BYU basketball did in the Big 12,
yep,
where they shocked everyone. BYU football has an opportunity to do that.
To put on the – in fact, go ahead, pull up. Let's go. We got the big blue goggles here. To put – to put these here, I'll just stand right here.
Goggle
to
alert.
Put these on,
these throw are, them on, man.
These
throw
are like,
them on.
These are like,
yeah,
7-0, going to the Big 12 title game playoff goggles. Okay, we're gonna keep these over here for the time being. These are sweet, by the way. Shout out to Vandy. Got to make sure these are nice and straight. Okay, to do that, yeah, I need 7-0. I'm like you, dude. Like, it's got to be something special. But you have to beat Baylor to do it, and then you. Somehow, yes, you get your bye week, your Arizona, Oklahoma State. Like, these are three tough games. Now, let's not act like BYU is just, and you're not, but I'm just saying, like, generally, let's not act like BYU is just going to do this. They have to do things they haven't done, like you said. So, okay, if BYU wins tomorrow, blue goggles stay on, right? They stay on. BYU's hopes of competing for a Big 12 title are there. Playoff outsider hopes continue. You got winnable home games, granted tough ones, Arizona, Oklahoma State. Then it's the gauntlet of UCF on the road, bye, at Utah on the road as well. Then you have Kansas, yes, Arizona State, Houston. Some of these teams have not looked as good as we thought. BYU's been better than we thought. But I do have concerns. Like, will BYU's run game be good enough? Oh, by the way, this graphic, this is great. If BYU beats Baylor, they snap the day game losing streak of 10 in a row. First Big 12 road win. First ever win in Waco. They equal the 23 win totals you mentioned. They equal the Big 12 win total. This is a big game. Here are my concerns. Can BYU's run game be good enough? Really banged up. No LJ Martin. Hinkley Ropati's back. Didn't really use Miles Davis last week. Sione Moa was injured, apparently. Enoch Nawahine missed the Wyoming game. Didn't play that much last week because Sione Moa was great. Pokai Honga, we've seen a little bit. The only guy we haven't seen is Jovessa DeMunia. I assume they're going to redshirt him because he hasn't played up to this point. Run game. Third down issues. Didn't matter last week, but third downs have been an issue. Hey, the fourth down's been awesome. Okay, you combine those, it's better. And does it require three takeaways to win against Power 4 teams, Spencer? There's going to be games where BYU doesn't, obviously. Does it require three takeaways to win? I hope it doesn't, because you can't ask your defense to get three takeaways every week. So my hope is that BYU offense establishes the run well enough, takes care of the ball, let the defense keep you in that game, and then go score points when you have opportunities. And obviously special teams has been just that, special, with a couple of touchdown returns. So it feels simple. Turnover's a big deal, like we mentioned. But I'm wondering, like, if BYU gets behind and they can't run and they have to throw, can they win that game?
At some point, they're going to have to do that, right, Jerem? At some
yes.
point, they will face that scenario in this season, and they have to prove that they can do that. And then that obviously shifts a lot of pressure to Jake Retzlaff and the receivers and their ability, and frankly, Aaron Roderick, for them to be able to make in-game adjustments and figure that out. Whoa, got things flying around here.
What's flying
hey, I'm
around?
I'm on the my leaf, toes, Jerem. Okay,
leaf blower?
I almost got hit by the sunscreen. Woo! Okay.
Oh, it's
David. I'm ready. I'm game ready.
Who was it, Junior or David Holliday? Who are we talking about?
It's all good. Holliday and are holding it down now, so we're good. But
they
the point
sure
is,
it doesn't hit you.
At some point, yes, BYU is going to have to be ready to win a game when things get super weird. So if they can't run the ball, whether it's tomorrow, it's against Arizona, it's against UCF or Utah, whatever,
yeah,
BYU is going to have to win a game throwing the ball when the rush game is not working. We'll see what happens when it comes to that. As far as tomorrow goes, though, I'm glad you pointed out the 5 different things that BYU needs to do to check the box. This is a check the box game, and if BYU can just survive tomorrow, then we can put to rest the narrative in so many different ways that BYU can't win a road game in the Big 12, that they can't win a day game, that they can't win in Waco. this would be huge for their confidence. So when we're talking about what a win would mean, my gosh, mentally, this team will go to a new level of confidence if they can get through this and check all of those little boxes, get to 5-0, and then you got 2 weeks to game plan for Noah Fifita and Arizona and that passing attack, and I think it's going to be 6-0 at that point. So yeah, maybe I'm wearing the extra large blue goggles, not quite the mega size blue goggles that you just put on in Studio B, but I've got some blue goggles on right now. If they beat Baylor tomorrow, then I put on the extra large blue goggles, and if BYU can get to 7-0, then maybe we need to embrace those mega blue goggles in Studio B for what could be a special season. But I like BYU to win 9 games this year if they just can find a way to take care of Baylor. And there will be adversity, no question. It's the road. It's the Big 12. There will be some weird moments tomorrow. Can't wait to see how BYU responds to that in a situation where in the last 3 years in day games, they have not looked good. So I'm very interested to see what this core with the maturity can do when that adversity inevitably strikes.
And to finish, what a win would mean is today's stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
With the win over Baylor, it would be just the second time in BYU history that a team started 5-0 with 3 wins over Power 5 teams. The other team, BYU in 21, but Baylor was the team that beat BYU, the only Power 4 loss. So even that team didn't win in Waco. Gary Bohannon was on the other side in that one, so let's go. Okay, what would a loss mean should that happen tomorrow?
That unfortunately the narrative continues that BYU can't win a meaningful day game in recent years. I want it to go away as much as anybody else, and I know that there are several people that feel like it's not a thing and that we shouldn't cast attention to it, but it is a thing. And I think BYU needs to overcome any sort of doubt in the back of their mind that they don't or they can't play as well as they do at night in the daytime. So like if BYU can do this, yeah, great. But if they lose the game tomorrow, then that narrative will unfortunately continue. Whether it's fair or not, causation and correlation, doesn't matter. It's a thing and it can go away with a win tomorrow. But if the loss happens, we'll be talking about it until BYU next has an opportunity to go and win a day game again. At 4-1, they're still on pace. So while a loss would stink and it would probably knock BYU out of the top 25, well, certainly it would knock BYU out of the top 25, so that's another effect of losing the game tomorrow. It doesn't exactly derail what has already been an amazing season. BYU is an underdog in this game. Las Vegas says that BYU is supposed to lose this game. So 4-1, 2 weeks off. You got to sit on a loss for 2 weeks, which stinks. But I guarantee that if BYU loses tomorrow, they will beat Arizona, and they'll be motivated and ready. So even if they lose tomorrow, I still like BYU's chances to get to 6-1, beating Arizona and Oklahoma State at home in Lavelle Edwards Stadium, which I believe will both be night games. So, yeah, it would stink. I'd like the day game narrative to go away, Jerem, but other than losing a top 25 ranking, which is not fun, there's not a ton. Like, this doesn't derail anything that BYU is trying to do in the big picture. There's still a ton to accomplish if, heaven forbid, they can't figure it out and they lose the game tomorrow. How do you see it?
I think it would derail the biggest picture of making the playoff. I'm not sure a two-loss, second-place Big 12 losing team out at large is an SEC Big 10 team in the playoff, perhaps. That's, like, the biggest goal. I'm not really worried about that or thinking about that much at the moment. If BYU gets to 7-0, we can start to have that conversation. Because I do think that a win at UCF or Utah would be big time. But you got to beat Baylor first. You got to beat Arizona. Like, we're getting ahead of ourselves just a touch. That's what the bye week's for next week, right? If BYU loses, they're probably still ahead of schedule, Spence, at 4-1. Vegas had them with 4.5 wins all year.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
We wouldn't be feeling great going into the bye week coming off a loss, because coming off Kansas State, you feel like the ceiling's really high for BYU right now. That, hey, a lot of things are possible with the great defense, great special teams, and the offense has shown to be pretty good so far. But I mentioned my concerns previously, but I'll repeat them. Run game, third down, and does it require 3 takeaways to beat a Power 4 team? So far, that's what BYU's done. That's awesome. When you don't do that, are you still going to scrap out a win? Are you going to make a couple plays here and there? we think BYU can do it, but you gotta obviously do it at Baylor and check a couple of those boxes. Okay, our question today is this. What will Sunday's headline read following BYU at Baylor? We're asking for some creativity here. Let's see what you the people have of these Cougar United States of America. At Caleb Plew on X. BYU beats Bears, but it's B-E-E-T-S. Very nice. At Kramer Holly on X. Are the 5-0 Cougs the real deal? And in parentheses, manifesting, hoping, praying. Those are good. Those are pretty good, Spence.
I'm going to add to that my headline, because I do believe BYU is going to find a way. They're going to figure it out tomorrow. They're going to check all the boxes and win this game. But my headline would say, synchronize blue goggles, straight up, because it is time. These aren't blue, but I'll throw on some sunglasses right now.
Hey, okay. we can see David and Junior very well.
Blue goggles. Goggle alert.
Right?
Blue goggle alert.
That is my headline, synchronized blue goggles after BYU beats Baylor, because it is going to be a wild two-week ride if and when BYU does that into the Arizona game.
I've got what the doctor, Pepper, ordered. Defense styles up, takeaways again or something. Yeah, this is a Coke school, but we mentioned Dr. Pepper because of Waco.
For sure. All right, on from our question of the day to another super exciting bit of news, which is, we finally have the Big 12 basketball schedules for BYU men's and women's hoops. Got the men's schedule a little bit into the afternoon yesterday, and so now this is our first opportunity to react to it on the show. It is wild which teams are going to play in the Marriott Center, Jerem. It's fantastic. How do you like BYU's Big 12 schedule and how it shakes out?
I can't wait, man. Okay, the home schedule, let's talk about it. Arizona State, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Baylor, Arizona, Kansas State, Kansas, West Virginia, Utah. Amazing. Couple of notes. Five of BYU's first six home games are Tuesdays, one Saturday home game in the first 13 games. A little weird. Tough stretch of four games, February 1st to the 11th, where there's four games in 12 days, three in the Eastern time zone. That will be a tough stretch. Senior night is Utah. That's well placed. That's great. No big Monday game, Spence. I thought BYU might have one given how they played last year and the excitement for this year. But I'm actually good with that because there's no bye, Spence. There's not a single bye in there. BYU would have had to play a Saturday, then a Monday game. Can you imagine? That turnaround's really difficult for BYU, who chooses not to practice and play on Sundays in any fashion. I didn't want that. Only non-Tuesday-Saturday matchup is Wednesday, February 26th at Arizona State. I think it's pretty good. We already knew the opponents. We didn't know the order. We didn't know the dates. We still don't know TV and whatnot. But I think it's pretty good. And you look at those home games for BYU and our pre- and post-game shows that we're going to have on the home games. It's going to be so exciting. Can't wait for this team to get going here in the next couple of weeks.
I can't wait for BYU to host Texas Tech, because there's some lingering frustration from what BYU was unable to do against Tech, both in the regular season, blowing a 17-point lead, and then getting blown out in the Big 12 tournament. Now Tech has to visit the Marriott Center on January 7th. That game is going to be fantastic. And yeah, naturally we throw a ton of attention on Arizona and Kansas, but let's not forget that Baylor is so good as well, and they're coming back to the Marriott Center. The home schedule is going to be a tough ticket. Could not be more excited about it. I just cannot wait to see what Kevin Young can do in a follow-up performance to what BYU did in Mark Pope's last season, as the league is now seemingly getting more and more challenging and the teams are getting better. We thought it was good last year. We thought the conference was tough last year. Fran Fraschilla has told us, no, you haven't even experienced true Big 12 basketball yet. That will happen this year, and I love that BYU gets Arizona and Kansas and Baylor and Texas Tech in the Marriott Center to bring out the best of the Cougars and to get some of these marquee wins as they prepare to go to what we believe is going to be a sure thing NCAA tournament appearance once again.
We hope so, and will there be 10 bids from the Big 12? The league's certainly good enough when you add the likes of Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. Can't wait to play Utah twice, always. I think it's going to be fun to have a game with Utah in the Marriott Center every year, in Salt Lake, Huntsman Center every year. It's going to be awesome, man. Okay, but BYU and Baylor, is what's going on this week. And make sure you tune into our pregame shows on BYU TV and BYU Radio coming up tomorrow. Bright and early, 10 a.m., baby. 8 Mountain Time. If you're in Hawaii, good luck with that. BYU and Baylor also on FS1, BYU Radio at noon Eastern Time. Cannot wait. Coming up, a linebacker one-on-one featuring Ben Bywater and Jack Kelly. This is BYU Sports Nation from Waco and Provo. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B in Provo, Utah. Spencer Linton will join us from Waco coming up in just a moment. Well, BYU's defense is top 25 in most of the important statistical categories, led by junior Jack Kelly, who's been a problem for opposing defenses. Ben Bywater chats now with the leader of the Cougar D.
Cougar Nation, what is up? It is your host, Ben Bywater. We are back with BYU TV Sports Nation Game Day. I have today with me one of the boys. I respect the crap out of him since the day he showed up on BYU. I had the pleasure of lifting with him, the one and only Jack Kelly. Jack, I know you've been here just a little bit of time, but like I said earlier, I was able to lift with this cat. One of the strongest dudes I've ever met. I watched this guy squat 510 pounds 10 times. I'm talking like a car piston, down up, no belt, not even breaking a sweat. And like, that is hard to do. Okay, I want you guys to know, like, that is extremely difficult. Jack, I want to know, like, just for my own curiosity, like, how'd you get so strong?
I would honestly say from BMX, pedaling that bike from 3 years old till I was 15 and all the training that comes with it is all legs. So I'd say BMX has a huge part to do with that.
Yeah, so like, that's like when I first met you, like, I saw your Instagram, I was like, okay, this cat like races like BMX like pretty intensely. Like, did you ever want to pursue that professionally, or was it always football first?
Yeah, I did want to pursue that for sure. From the time I was 5, my dad was just looking for something to pass the time till I could play football, and then ended up taking it competitively, getting like some sponsorships and stuff. So then I stuck with that, and then once I hit high school, I decided it's time to try out football, and stuck with that since then.
Wait, so you only played football for like your sophomore year?
Yeah, I started like middle of my freshman year and then took it from there.
Let's talk about this week. We got Baylor on the schedule. I want to know, how do we bring kind of that Lavelle Edwards energy to Waco this Saturday?
I think Coach Ennis said something really well last week, is that we got to feed off of each other. So off the plays we make as a defense, offense, special teams, we all just got to feed off of each other and trust that one another is going to build energy, and then we're all just going to be able to feed off that the whole game.
It's so true. Like, making plays can just defeat the opposing crowd, and it can electrify your crowd. So I love that comment. I want to talk real quick. Like, having played backer, like, it's hard to rush the passer, especially a guy like our size. Like, that's not easy to do, and this guy is so good at it. I'm curious, like, when you went to college, like, at Weber, were you thinking, hey, I want to be like an edge rusher, or did that just happen?
It kind of just happened, honestly. I was getting recruited as a backer, but in high school I was mainly a tight end. Played a little bit of defense my senior year, but at the end of the day I ended up straining my hamstring at Weber, and they moved me down to edge, so I didn't have to run as much, and that kind of started my career as an edge rusher and pass rushing.
Saturday, we're going into Waco. It is a early day, right? Like, I always thought I loved nighttime games because of the energy, but like, it's kind of nice. You play earlier in the day, you can kind of knock it out that night, maybe get some chips and salsa, watch some college football. But I always loved talking with the boys about, how are you structuring the meals? Because you don't want to be malnourished heading into the game, but you also don't want to be bloated, right? Like, there's that fine line. Are we getting just a little bagel, a croissant? Are we like some steak and eggs? Like, I want to know, it's a 10 a.m. game. How are you prepping earlier that day food-wise?
But me personally, I'm going to probably eat a big dinner and then maybe like a smoothie or something light, like a bagel, like you said, with some eggs, but just something light for sure.
And that's how you know the boy will not be slow on Saturday, okay? Zero bloating. The guy is going to be dialed. Jack Kelly, last question I have for you. Number 17. My boy. Number 17. I had number 2. I played with 2 in high school. Want to know, where does number 17 come from?
So my grandpa growing up, he raced sprint cars, and he always raced in number 17. So growing up, it was like kind of a family number. So then we stuck with it. And like, me and my family have matching tattoos of 17. So it's kind of been a family number.
Want to talk about the JK17. I that's kind of a trend nowadays, right? People add a little swag to the thigh pads. Obviously, JK17 are the initials. But, you know, walk us through that.
So when you go on the website, they have like all kinds of like jokers and different ones. I didn't want to be too flashy because my dad definitely does not like that. So I had to go something simple, just get the JK17, just so initials and number, like you said, and keep it basic, but also have a little swag to it.
Hey, last thing I'll say, just, you know, give us 10 years. Me and Jack Haley will be racing Baja in Ensenada, Mexico, okay? We're playing football now, but don't be fooled. We will be racing Baja. Tune in, all right? But until then, Jack Kelly, this kid works hard, puts his head down, yes sir, no sir type of cat, nothing but love and respect, one of the best to do it. I've had a lot of agents hit me up about this cat. He's going to be in the NFL for a lot of years to come. Freaking love Jack Kelly. Cougar Nation, we are signing out. Love you guys. Until next week.
Freaking boy, love you. Ben Bywater. That's good stuff, the player-to-player interview. It's awesome. Look for Kelly to have a big game against Baylor. He has really led this BYU defense. Coming up, the Dominator, Brandon Doman, will join us to talk about playing as an undefeated team, the Cougar run game, and how the Cougars can beat Baylor. But before we go to break, we wanted to share our condolences to the friends and family of former BYU track and field athlete Scott Meekum, who passed away Wednesday afternoon after a mountain bike accident earlier this month. Meekum was a sprinter for BYU from 2017 to 19, where he went from walk-on to running the sixth fastest time in 400 hurdles in program history. He's survived by his wife, Sierra, and two daughters, Jaden and Parker.
Way ahead of schedule. They're 4-0, ranked number 22 in the AP poll.
Their defense is astonishing.
We have all the faith in the world in ourselves.
The way BYU is winning games this year, very different than the way BYU was winning games last year.
Every game we're looking better and better.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live in Studio B in Provo, Utah, and on the banks of the Brazos River outside McLean Stadium in Waco, Texas. Spencer Linton now joining us is the one and only, one of the greats at BYU. He even got his own gladiator-like poster. The Dominator, Brandon Doman, former BYU quarterback, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, joins the program. Brandon, welcome back to the show, man.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Game day eve, always good juice on a Friday going into a game where BYU's 4-0, coming off an amazing win against Kansas State at Baylor. How are you feeling about the squad so far this year?
I mean, goodness, it's been really fun to see them figure out ways to win, and then put an entire game like that together last Saturday was really fun to watch. I don't know how we couldn't be more happy than we are right now.
Brandon, as you consider what BYU is about to embark upon, which is polar opposite of where they were last week with the super late start. Now it's an early morning kickoff, technically speaking, 11 a.m. Central Time. And we've documented that BYU has, for whatever reason, struggled in day games against FBS foes over the last three seasons. How much do you buy into BYU being a better team at night than they are during the day? And if you do buy into that, what kind of adjustments would you make to try and get yourself right for a game like this?
Yeah, I don't buy into it. It is hard. I think it's hard for anybody to have to get up first thing in the morning. I mean, for our guys, it's a 10 a.m. game, noon there, but or whatever, 11 a.m. or noon there, I guess, 11 a.m. So it's really hard. You're having to get up first thing in the morning. Usually it's nice to have just a break and to get a walkthrough there at the hotel or somewhere close by and just kind of work your way into the game day. So you do have to get to bed early. You have to wake up early. You have to get going. And unfortunately, some guys have a hard time getting moving in the morning and getting going. And so by the time you get to the game in the stadium, you just haven't quite got going. So the coaches are going to have a plan tomorrow morning to get the guys up, get them moving, maybe a walkthrough. Maybe there's something that they can get them doing early in the morning just to get them up and at them.
If only missionaries, which half the team is a return missionary, had just been tackling people at 10 a.m. on their missions, they would have been ready for this situation. Getting up is different than tackling people and throwing the ball. BYU 4-0, Brandon, trying to get to 5-0. Your 2001 team was one of seven teams that have started 5-0 in BYU history. Talk to us about managing expectations, getting excited, but also focusing on the task at hand, playing as an undefeated team.
Well, last week, our defense and special teams won that football game. And in order to be a good football team, you're going to have all three phases of the game working. In some games, you know, your defense just isn't going to be getting takeaways like they got last game. Or there isn't going to be a punt return that sparks the entire stadium. And so the offense is going to have to pick up the slack. And you know, if there's anything right now that we should be a little bit concerned about, it's just the productivity in critical situations for the offense. So the offense is going to have to come and participate at a different level than they have. And there's going to have to be some games where they win the game for the team. I think that we're going to have to see it sooner than later, especially on the road, where now you're in the opponent's stadium and their fans are, you know, hyped just like our fans were hyped. And we're going to need to see our offense play better.
Brandon, in your opinion, what is BYU football doing best right now as they try and get to 5-0 against Baylor tomorrow?
Well, I've always believed, you know, I'm an offensive guy and I love offensive football. I think as goes the quarterback, so goes the team, honestly. For a 12-game, 13-game season, the quarterback ultimately is going to have a significant impact on dictating the outcome of the season. And I think BYU has a long ways to go. But I also believe that defense wins championships. And BYU has established a culture and an identity around successful defense right now. And the areas of most importance is red zone defense, you know, scoring defense. And our defense has been remarkable in the red zone, keeping defenses out. And then takeaways, you know, getting the ball away from the opposing offense, you know, turnover on downs, interception, fumbles, you know, those kinds of things. You know, you can make a living off of, you know, really good defense and then solid special teams. And like I said, the offense is going to have to put together, you know, more productivity in order for this team to, you know, to have a shot at winning all their games or a shot at, you know, the title or other things like that. They're going to have to be better. Right now they're not good enough, but I know they're working on those things that they need to improve on. And, you know, here's hoping we can pull it off.
Where do you start in that conversation? Because certainly BYU has been very banged up at running back. They've been good enough for the most part. They found guys that have worked in that room. Thankfully, they were four or five deep in certain games. But where do you begin that conversation? Run game, turnovers, Retzloff?
Yeah, there's a few areas that we used to focus on. You know, number one, red zone scoring efficiency. Number two, third down efficiency. Those two in combination have a significant impact on the offense's ability to score. And, you know, in training a quarterback, completions equal first downs. And first downs equal touchdowns. And, you know, right now BYU's third down efficiency and even their, you know, their scoring efficiency is really low. And if they can improve those things, you know, I think I'm looking at the screen, it's 29.2% on third down. It just is never going to be a pathway to success. It just isn't going to work. We need to get up close to 40% and better in order for an offense to really be productive.
Brandon, we've seen Jake Retzloff have some nice games, certainly against Southern Illinois, put up some solid numbers, and then against Wyoming. He was one of the top quarterbacks in all of FBS, albeit it was against a bad opponent, but still you got to show up and play well, and for the most part, Jake did. He also happens to be the team's leading rusher. So what do you make overall of Jake Retzloff's contribution to the offense, and how would you assess his play if you were to, say, give him a grade up to this point of the season?
Yeah, I don't think it's an A grade. You know, there's been some things that he's done very well. But he needs to continue to improve mechanically on some of the things he's doing. He's missing some throws still that you know, you just don't want to see him miss. And a couple reads that you'd like him to not miss. And some of it's just mechanics of I've said it a couple times, just being on his back foot and throwing the football from his back foot. And he's got such a unique kind of sidearm throwing motion that and it's so strong that he gets away with bad mechanics at times. And so I think those are things that can be fixed. You can continue to coach those things up. And then success in scoring situations and success in third down situations, that comes from practice and continually putting him in those situations to be successful in practice and scrimmage situations. You can really train a guy up to be successful there, and then play calling, you know, to help him be successful and making sure that he understands how to execute in critical situations, you know, third down situations. We used to call those the money plays. Those are the plays we knew if we called it was cash money. There's no doubt we were going to convert on those, and half the time we did. And so I think the quarterback and the offensive play caller, you know, those guys need to be completely in sync on third down and in red zone scoring, and they're not yet. And I think in due time they'll figure that out. I hope they'll figure it out. Otherwise, there will be some games that get away from us because we can't do those things.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about I was saying in both Power Four wins this year, SMU and last week against Kansas State, BYU had three takeaways. Does it require three takeaways to beat a Power Four opponent? BYU probably didn't need all three last week, but certainly they helped. And regarding Jake Retzlaff's mechanics, that arm slot's probably not going to change midseason. So is it mainly footwork that you want to see differently that you can coach up?
Yeah, I mean, in quarterback play, it's timing, decision-making, and accuracy. So every single football play has a very specific timing associated to it, whether it's a handoff or some kind of a play-action play or it's a drop-back pass. If your feet match the concept of the play, then you know you're going to get the ball out on time. He's not getting it out regularly on time. And that, again, it's a ton of repetition. He was splitting reps with Bohannon, and so did he get enough reps in what he needed to accomplish in the side of this offense? Well, now he's getting all the reps. So repetition, timing, and then decision making, throwing it to the right guy at the right time comes in sequence, and then accuracy. So I was never myself as accurate as a passer unless I was throwing the ball on time to the right guy. Once I figured out how to throw it on time and to the right guy, then I became a very accurate passer. And that's the case for all passers, whether they got a strong arm or not a strong arm. And I think he's just a little bit behind right now.
Brandon Doman, former BYU quarterback, great, is on BYU Sports Nation. Brandon, as you look at the expectations for BYU tomorrow, and according to the odds makers in the desert, they have the Cougars as a 3-point underdog. How, as a player, did you handle those type of contextual scenarios where there is a perceived favorite and a perceived underdog? And is there any type of advantage at all for BYU, given that they are a ranked team yet still an underdog?
Oh, I think Kalani needs to be continually coaching as the underdog coach. That locker room needs to be playing as an underdog team no matter what game they go into. I mean, they were ranked at the bottom of the league. Nobody's going to give BYU credit. They're just not going to give BYU credit right now. We're in many instances, and in this game, we're overmatched in a lot of places physically, athletically. So when you know these pundits and analyzers of football are looking at just the rosters themselves, they say, well, gosh, BYU should lose this game. So I hope that BYU continues to have this chip on their shoulder mentality, underdog mentality, and continue to play defense and football that way. Because I do think going on the road, if you can win the turnover battle, chances are pretty good for you to win the game. But the turnover battle can get away from you really quick, just like it did against Kansas State at home. You know, the Kansas State, once the turnover battle started losing the edge on that, it really fell fast. And BYU needs to hold on to that and not allow it to go, because Baylor is good, but they're not good enough, I don't think, to run away or make this too difficult on BYU. If BYU can stay inside the turnover margin battle. And if they do, I think BYU is going to win this game, actually. I think BYU is a better football team top to bottom as far as just executing football right now. I think they're better than Baylor.
The hope is they are, and they're 5-0. And we're all happy tomorrow afternoon. Brandon, we always appreciate your insight. Thanks for coming on, man.
You bet, guys. Good luck down there.
The Dominator on BYU Sports Nation. We appreciate his time always. Check out women's volleyball taking on Texas Tech tomorrow, 3 Eastern on ESPN+. Remember McKelly Wesley, the BYU basketball great? His daughter, Mia, plays for Texas Tech. She had a 20-kill, 20-dig performance at Utah last night. That's going to be fun tomorrow afternoon in the Smithfield House. Coming up, this day in Cougar football history goes way back. The men's hoops conference schedule is out, and the controversial finish in the women's soccer game last night. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Provo and Waco. Jeremy Jordan, Spencer Linton with you. In honor of 100 seasons of Cougar football, we always like to say on this date in BYU football, some of the great wins, moments, plays. Spencer, what do we have today?
Let's go back to 1958,
oh,
Jeremy.
Yeah.
Almost the 1955 from Back to the Future in the DeLorean. Not that far off. BYU on the road at Utah. The Cougars led by head coach Hal Kopp. 16-yard touchdown run from Howard Ringwood tied the game at 7 in the first quarter. A 36-yard touchdown pass from quarterback Wayne Starton to R.K. Brown. Who doesn't remember R.K. Brown? Game-winning score in the fourth quarter. The Cougars held on 14-7, only their second ever win over Utah to that point. Outstanding stuff. Give me more R.K. Brown, dude.
Wayne Starton ain't coming off the bench, I'll tell you that. That's awesome. The previous win was in 1942, by the way. It had been 16 years between wins. Oh, man, crazy. All right, good stuff. Let's get to today's headlines.
Beginning with 22nd-ranked BYU at Baylor at McLean Stadium, which is just across the Brazos River from where I'm standing right now. Big 12 road game for the Cougars, who are three-point underdogs, still looking for their first ever Big 12 road win. Pre-game coverage, 10 a.m. Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Kickoff slated for noon Eastern on FS1 and BYU Radio. And congrats to offensive lineman Connor Pay, named a semifinalist for the William V. Campbell Trophy, which is college football's premier scholar-athlete award.
Very nice. The 20-game men's basketball conference schedule's out. BYU opens league play on New Year's Eve against Arizona State. Arizona will be in Provo February 4th, Kansas February 18th, and senior night is March 8th against Utah.
On to Cougars in the NFL Part 1. Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and the New Orleans Saints take on their arch nemesis Atlanta and Tyler Algier. Fred Warner and the 49ers looking to get out to Schneid. They'll host Sione Takitaki's New England Patriots. Kyle Van Noy and the Baltimore Ravens take on the Buffalo Bills on Sunday Night Football. Kingsley Suamataia, Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs trying to stay unbeaten on the road in Los Angeles as they take on the Chargers.
Zach Wilson and the Broncos play the Jets. That'll be fun in a way. Blake Freeland and the Colts host the Steelers. Chris Brooks and Dane Anderson and the Packers play the Vikings. Michael Davis and the Commanders play the Kyrus Tonga-led Cardinals. And Ryan Rico and the Bengals take on Brady Christensen and the Panthers.
17th-ranked BYU women's volleyball opening Big 12 play last night and beat Colorado in four sets at a very raucous Smithfield House. Cougars led by Ellie Mortensen's 11 kills, Claire Little's 10 kills, and Brielle Kemivore's 10 kills and 9 blocks, by the way. Kemivore's playing at another level.
Yep.
BYU will host Texas Tech tomorrow, 3 Eastern on ESPN+.
She really is playing amazing right now. It's awesome. Women's soccer drew 2-2 with Oklahoma State last night at South Field. Micah Cromanhook scored her first career goal in the fourth minute to give BYU a 1-0 lead. Kenzie Vance tied the game at 2 in the 76th. There was what appeared to be a handball late in that game, like the final 10 seconds in the box, that could have yielded a penalty kick, that could have yielded a win for BYU. So a bit of a controversial finish, but BYU draws Oklahoma State now 2-1-1 in league, 4-4-3 on the season.
The second-ranked BYU men's cross-country team and the seventh-ranked women's cross-country team are competing this morning in the Nutty Comb Invitational in Madison, Wisconsin. This course will also be the site of the 2024 National Championship races.
Who wants to run in Wisconsin in November? Like, what world does this make sense? Granted, cross-country, they're used to, like, running through the mud and the leaves and that kind of thing, so I guess it makes sense. Hopefully there's no snow. And congrats to Spencer Johnson, who signed with the British professional basketball team, Leicester Riders. Can't wait to watch Spencer in Britain. That'll be awesome. After the BYU-Baylor game, make sure you tune in to the Spencer Linton Show, a.k.a. the BYU TV Sports Nation post-game show, where Spencer's got the latest and greatest from the field, interviews, conversation, analysis from the boys in the studio. It's right after the game, after BYU and Baylor tomorrow. Coming up, Jimmer Fredette is today's Big 12 Pick'em guest. Let's get after it. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Whether of the day, what will Sunday's headline read following BYU at Baylor? Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Casey Garner on Instagram. Vegas in shambles. Cougs find a way in Waco. It would be 5-0 against the spread, Spence, if BYU just won outright. Come on.
Yeah. Check another box, right? Let's add beating the spread 5 weeks in a row to the list of things that BYU can check.
ATS. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
And it goes to Cougs Care, the BYU alumni group. They do a service project every road game that they take on. This time around, it's bringing canned or boxed food to donate at the BYU tailgate party. Donations will benefit the Shepherd's Heart Food Pantry, an organization that ministers to the needs of the hungry and hurting to the extent that lives will be changed and people will learn in practical ways the love of God. An outstanding effort. Love that BYU is involved in these projects.
It's a party with a purpose, which is awesome. That's great. Okay, it's time for week 5 of Big 12 Pick'em. Let's take a look at how we've done through the first 4 weeks. We are both 18-9. We're at a pretty good clip here. I think we're doing all right, Doug. I think we're doing all right. Okay, here's how our guest pickers have done so far. Kenneth Rooks, silver medalist, 5-2. Kevin Young, 4-3, pretty good. JT was 3-3. Craig Bowlerjack did not have a great week, okay? Let's welcome in the 2011 Naismith Player of the Year, Jimo Dashin, an Olympian, friend of the program. Jimmer Fredette is the Big 12 guest picker today. Welcome to the program, Jimmer.
What is going on? How are you guys? I am pumped to be a guest picker and talk about something other than basketball. And I got my Kehlani signed football here.
Yeah.
With good luck. Let's go. Yes.
Let's go. Okay. Kenneth Rooks was a fellow Olympian with you and went 5-2. So you're trying to beat one of the homies that you were on that boat with. So let's go. Okay. This game's pretty simple. 7 games. We all pick one. Here we go. Game number 1, TCU at Kansas. Jayhawks favored by 1.5. Jimmer.
You know, Kansas has had a struggle a little bit recently, but I love their quarterback, Jalen Daniels. He's back. He is coming back for a vengeance. So I think that he's going to have a big day against TCU's defense, who's not amazing. And normally when BYU used to play them, they used to have a great defense. So it's a little bit different, but I pick Kansas.
Jimmer makes some great points here, but I can't get over how bad Kansas State has been in late game critical scenarios consistently. So I'm going to give TCU an edge here. Unfortunately, I think the Jayhawks, they've got bigger issues to figure out late in games. TCU and Josh Hoover will make a play late in the game and sneak away, handing Kansas another heartbreaking loss.
I agree with Jimmer. I go with Kansas on this one. Game 2, number 20, Oklahoma State. Number 23, Kansas State. This is a big one.
This is a great game. Obviously, two really good teams. The Oklahoma State's running back really scares me, but Kansas State's coming back. They're going to win the game at home. And, you know, their quarterback, I really actually love their quarterback. They had some unfortunate times against us last week, but that's not their team. I think they're really good.
Kansas State is on a mission. Jimmer is right. The Wildcats roll at home.
Kansas State as well, all 3. We didn't save the graphic, if you will. Game 3, Colorado at UCF. Big noon kickoffs there.
Man, with Gus Malzahn at the helm, they are winning this game. KJ Jefferson, we know a little bit about him at Arkansas. Love the game. Physical, they beat you, even though Travis Hunter might be the best player in the country.
It's going to take more than a Hail Mary for Colorado to beat UCF. They need about 4 of them. UCF rolls here, too.
UCF averages 375 rush yards a game, number 1 in the country. That's going to be hard to stop. Next up, Iowa State at Houston.
Ooh, here we go. I think Iowa State, pretty easy win. Houston, unfortunately, not like their basketball team at this point, but Iowa State wins pretty easy.
Yeah, if Kelvin Sampson is coaching the football team, I might go with Houston, but he's not, Jimmer, so Iowa State wins big.
Iowa State as well. Cincinnati at Texas Tech.
Here we go in Texas Tech. I think they're going into Cincy and they're going to win. I love their receiver and their running back.
Ooh, I think Cincinnati pulls an upset here as a 3.5
nice.
Point underdog. They're coming off a big win, Cincinnati.
Give me the Red Raiders, who have won 6 of 8 at home. Okay, former Pac-12 foes, Arizona at number 10, Utah.
Man, I like Arizona. I like their offense, but Utah is just so physical. Kyle Whittingham's a great coach. I just feel like they're going to take away their offense and win the game physically.
It doesn't matter who plays quarterback for Utah when they have the defense performing the way that they are right now. It's going to be Utah over Arizona.
Yeah, Utah's won 33 of 35 at home. Arizona sat on that 31-7 loss to Kansas State. Give me Utah. I hate it, but give me Utah. And last but not least, tomorrow at noon Eastern on FS1 and BYU Radio, BYU at Baylor.
Let's go. You know who I'm picking. The Y. I wish I had the Cosmo Cougar hat on so I could go more so on you guys. But BYU is going in. They're taking care of business. Their defense is playing phenomenal. They're going to get up early and just go.
Cougs all the way, baby. Exercise the demons in Waco.
Let's go. Jimmer, nice job. BYU, of course, as well. Our thanks to Jimmer Fredette, Brandon Doman. For Spencer, I am Jerem. Shout out to Lindsey Hartsock. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern time for pregame on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Go Cougs!
Go!